This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, and so pleased to have on the line with us Congressman Mark Pocan, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, brilliantly representing the 2nd District of Wisconsin. Our middays with Mark is Friday this week. So, Congressman, Pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep Mark, M-A-R-K, Pocan, P-O-C-A-N. Congressman, welcome back.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here. And thanks for moving the date. I think we're doing it next week, too. I've got appropriation markups.
It's all good. In fact, you're in Bernie's old spot here. So it's
awesome.
It's super good. Except Bernie was on the show yesterday.
Oh,
or was
good.
It the day before? Yeah. Yeah, 2 days ago. Yeah, he dropped by. So anyway, there's a lot on the table here. You've got this Republican health care bill. We've got the ongoing adventures of Don Jr. and now apparently a former Soviet spy in the room with him. And also, you have been hanging out in Paul Ryan's district. I don't know where you want to start with this, but go for it.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, all three are great subjects. I'll start with the last one. You know, last Saturday, I did a couple more town halls in Paul Ryan's district. So we've done four now in four different counties in his district. And at the last one, Randy Bryce, the Democrat who's running against him, happened to be there as well and got a rock star reception from people who were there. But, you know, the bottom line is, Paul hasn't done a town hall in over 600 days, a public town hall in his district. He's doing telephone town halls, which are paid infomercials. He's doing employee town halls with like 25 employees who submit questions and then they read them to him and they never, of course, bring up healthcare. And we're trying to explain to his constituents, which is, you know, my hometown where I grew up in his district, about the healthcare bill where tens of millions of people are going to lose access to health insurance. So I just keep doing that. And, we're trying to make sure that we can get some change on what could be a disastrous healthcare proposal.
Yeah. Well, that's what kind of response are you getting? What kind of, you know, how do people in a red district, in Paul Ryan's district, respond to, one of the head Democrats coming to town?
Yeah. Well, first off, you know, it's really a purple district. You know, it's probably the biggest swing district that a Republican has in Wisconsin. So I don't even like to call it a red district because, you know, it's got some deindustrialized areas of Kenosha and Racine and Janesville where, we used to make a lot of cars there, which we don't anymore. So, you know, it's not necessarily a red area, but people are very, very concerned about losing health care. I mean, people come by who have pre-existing conditions. People come by who are worried about their kids, if they're going to have health insurance for their family. And, you know, inevitably it comes to a conversation. It seems every town hall gets to Medicare for All, which gets the strongest applause line of anything that happens at the town halls. But we have really good conversations, but it just shows how out of sync Paul Ryan is with people in southeastern Wisconsin. You know, what he's doing is great for, all the neocons and for the big insurance companies and big pharma, but it has nothing to do with the people who he actually represents.
Yeah, remarkable stuff. And your thoughts on the ongoing adventures of Donald Trump Jr.?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, yeah, he just has to send his kids to camp, you know. they got to get out of Washington. They're just screwing up so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we find out that they set up meetings like this and now we're most recently finding out an ex-Soviet officer might have been at the meeting as well. I mean, if there ever was any question of whether or not how far up the collusion went up the ladder, I think this is starting to show us more and more, what happened. We all know the Russians interfered, and even Donald Trump, every other answer he tells you, admits that the Russians interfered with our elections. But, you know, where there was collusion, where there was information about it, where there could have been some assistance is now just coming more and more clear every week we're here.
Yeah, this is really serious stuff. Do you are you confident? Let me rephrase that. Is the Mueller investigation in your mind enough, or do we I have been calling for some time for an independent commission to look into this, a nonpartisan, because everything seems to get politicized in this town, sort of like the 9/11 commission. You know, what the hell happened? Let's get some truthful answers here. Do you see any possibility of that happening? Or do you think that that's not even necessary?
I still think that's perhaps the inevitable conclusion. I mean, we've been asking for this all along, right? Let's get Congress away from any involvement. While I think everyone thinks that Mueller is very independent, and it is just a Department of Justice investigation, He still is accountable to a boss that's been appointed by Donald Trump. He doesn't have complete autonomy in the investigation. And while I think they're doing a lot of good work that's happening, I mean, ultimately, having a truly independent commission or even a special prosecutor, although I doubt this Congress will go there, would completely provide every assurance that this is being looked at. But right now, I feel like Department of Justice is doing their job. It's just that at some point I could see, because the way this is structured, that there could be something that could hinder it down the road, which is why still having independent commission is the gold standard.
Yeah, absolutely. Final question here, and then we'll hit a break and pick up calls from our listeners. And by the way, if you have a question for Congressman Pocan, the number is 202-808-9925. The Republicans are talking about they want to do so-called tax reform next. In other words, they want to do a giant tax cut for billionaires. But as Paul Ryan said on videotape, the reason why he wanted to do health care first was because that's essentially a $1 trillion tax cut for billionaires. And he wanted to get that one out of the way so he could go for the larger for the next tax cut for billionaires.
Right.
How real is all this stuff? Are the Republicans going to be able to pull this off? And what kind of damage is it going to do to our country when we basically defund the United States government and frankly, throw so much of this on the states that you're going to see states going bankrupt or just shutting down services? I mean, I saw an article in the New York Times a week or three ago suggesting or saying that in Mississippi, only about 3 or 4% of people who have applied for welfare in the last year actually got it. And it's not because people are submitting phony applications. Like, the state doesn't have any money.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why the healthcare fight is so important, because as we all know, their healthcare bill is really a giant tax break for the wealthiest big corporations, big pharma, and they actually take away healthcare from tens of millions of people, and older Americans pay more. All the provisions are still in the most recent version of a Republican Senate version of a healthcare bill. But this is their goal. I mean, Paul Ryan, remember he talked about, when he used to have keggers and talk about taking away, healthcare from people.
Yeah, he dreamed about it in college, what he said.
Yeah, I'm guessing, though, in kindergarten, he was talking about tax breaks, right? Because this is a guy who is obsessed by making sure that we redistribute wealth to the very wealthiest in this country.
I wonder if in kindergarten he was snatching school lunches from the from the poor kids.
And what's really sad about it is, when his father passed away, he was a beneficiary of Social Security, which is something that we've always had in this country for people to be available when they really need it. And yet, instead he's obsessed on lowering the corporate tax rate and lowering the rate for the wealthiest Americans. And that's the wrong direction completely. So I think what we have to be concerned about is this is what Paul's really, really wanted to do. And that's why this healthcare bill is disguised when it's a tax break. We have to be watching and fighting this hard.
Yeah. Amen. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. We'll be back with Congressman Pocan right after this. It's Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
202-808-9925. Back with your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this. And welcome back. Joy in Crescent City, California, watching us on Free Speech TV. You are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I live in Crescent City, which is rural, very rural, and I recently learned that you're working with my congressperson, Jared Hoffman, on expanding the internet to rural areas. And when I heard about this, I wondered if there was a possibility of including net neutrality in this bill. So I've been reading the bill, and I know in the heading it speaks to keeping the internet open. And so I'm wondering if there's language in the bill that could be strengthened so that we could make sure that the internet is fair and equal.
Great, Joy. Thanks for your call. And first of all, let me tell you, Jared Hoffman came in my class. What a complete class act he is, an expert on environmental issues and among many other things. And his district, like my district, has a lot of rural areas, which is why he helped He actually led the introduction of really, I think, what I'd call the gold standard again, Bill, for the internet and trying to make sure that in rural areas we can expand it so that everyone has high-speed internet. People who live in urban areas don't realize that those of us who live, I live in a town of 830-some people, you know, you don't even get one Mbps of speed. You can't be in business. Your kids can't do homework. That's the way it is. And so we've tried to have that bill to lift the awareness of that. And just this week, actually, I got in an appropriations bill a study of rural internet speeds and what it would cost to get everyone up to at least 25 Mbps. So we're working on this, and I think there is some bipartisan work we can do on this. Net neutrality is a different story, Joy. Unfortunately, for the most part, the Republicans are kind of going with this, allowing the AT&Ts and Comcast of the world to try to, you know, charge differently for this, and we're going to be at the wrong end of that stick. So we really have to keep the pressure up as much as you should combine the issues. I think there is a separate fight where I see some Republican overlap on trying to address broadband speeds in rural areas and coverage in rural areas. I don't see the same overlap right now on net neutrality, and we need to keep that pressure on net neutrality so that Republicans don't sell out the internet and we have the problems that could occur because of it.
Because? Oh, did we just lose Congressman Pocan?
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, good. Oh, you finished your sentence.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I'm sorry. I was looking over at Troy to see the time. We have just a minute till we're going to 35 seconds now until we're going to hit the break. What do you think about this, Title II? Do you think that the FCC is really going to succeed in pulling net neutrality?
You know, I think we have to keep the pressure on. I mean, I think, you know, the public clearly doesn't support this, and I would argue that, you know, Democrats, Independents, and Republicans don't support the changes they want to do, but let's face it, there's a lot of big lobbyists, big industry that's got a lot of money behind this. So we need to make sure that we're heard and calling our members of Congress, our senators, and quite honestly, I would call our state legislators and governors as well to make it part of their awareness. But this is a fight we need to do, absolutely.
Yeah, remarkable stuff. Congressman Mark Pocan is with us taking your calls, the number 202-808-9925. You can find his website at pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. As in Representative Rep. Mark Mark Pocan, Pocan. We'll be right back with more of your calls tomorrow. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you and Congressman Mark Pocan on the line taking your calls for the hour. And Rick in Manton, Michigan. Rick, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom, and thanks, Mark Pocan, for doing what you try to do up there on the Hill. I've got a little bug to put in your ear. You know, years ago, we had the CCC camps, and they did a great deal. It employed people. I'm just wondering, has anybody suggested on the Hill that maybe we should put these young people to work in farms, maybe help them adapt to a farming lifestyle and put them in business as small farmers? Has that ever been done? And I'm going to hang up and listen to your response. Thank you very much again. Tom?
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Thanks for your question. So there's been conversations about that program and bringing a program like that to get youth employed in a lot of different areas. I've seen no proposals specifically to farms and farming. I like the idea. Clearly in places like Michigan and Wisconsin and other areas where we do a lot of agriculture, you hate to see the giant farms buying up the small farms, and you want to see more family farms and doing that practicing, and it could be a good suggestion. So I appreciate you bringing it up, Rick. I know one of the things that I think Democrats are really trying to do is we know that we need to have a much more robust and clear economic message. That's the core message that we need to have moving forward, and I think right now we are doing a lot of work around that. Four of us specifically have been doing a thing on the future of work, wages, and labor, and that's Debbie Dingell from your state of Michigan, Don Norcross from New Jersey, Mark DeSalny from California, and myself. So we're going to have some proposals offered in September. And I appreciate your suggestion, Rick, and let me mention to a few other people.
Sounds like a plan. Malcolm in Park Forest, Illinois. Malcolm, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? Listen, I'd just like to make a suggestion to the congressman. I appreciate what he's doing. We need more people like him in government. I would like to see a nonpartisan or bipartisan commission composed of retired and active intelligence people, CIA, NSA, NSC, FBI, or whatever you want to call it, people who are respected, renowned members of the intelligence community, and have them comprise a commission to make this a national security issue. This is a serious national security issue. We have a Russian puppet and a traitor regime in the Oval Office, and I've never seen anything like this before in my life, and I think that might go a long way toward resolving this thing.
Yeah, Malcolm, I'll tell you, I agree with your concern that I've never seen anything like this either, and the fact that when the president goes overseas and disses our intelligence agencies, we've just never really seen anything like this. The good news is it's because of the intelligence agency's work and, quite honestly, good journalism, people doing work, disclosing more about a lot of what's gone on with the potential collusion between the Trump campaign administration and perhaps the president and his family himself. That is coming out. But what an odd time to be in, you know, where we've got this president who, you know, even his meeting just last week, you know, with Putin, it's just completely different than we've ever had before. And to watch, you know, where Ronald Reagan was with Russia and where we are now, no one wants to go back to Cold War days, but we certainly have to hold someone accountable who interfered with our elections. And every intelligence agency is telling us that right now. So I like your suggestion, Malcolm, but, you know, I completely agree with you. We need to make sure that we're giving this every bit of due diligence, no matter what, because this is a threat ultimately to our democracy.
John in Minneapolis, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan. John? No, John. Okay, let's try Beth in Paso Robles, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi. I was wondering, when Democrat senators and congressmen are on recess, if they could do more boots-on-the-ground stuff, activities in the community, and maybe even take, if they don't win a race, take some of that super PAC money, put it into, like, the Meals on Wheels and into school lunches, and just, you know, show up in the communities and show people who we are instead of have them listening to who we actually aren't.
Yeah, I hear you, Beth. You know, I'll tell you, when people go home, first of all, the term recess is an interesting term because I remember recess as a kid, and that meant you didn't do anything. And unfortunately, if you're doing your job right, you are all over your district, right? I mean, you should be having town halls. You should be having meetings with your constituents. And I think what you have to do, no matter where you live, is request that. You know, we are home in August, and people need to set up those meetings and ask if there's going to be public town halls. This new trend of saying you're going to do telephone town halls, or like Paul Ryan saying he doesn't want disruption from people being bussed in. I've done the town halls in his district, and this is people from his district that just have concerns about healthcare bill and what kind of, you know, if you give these big tax breaks, what does that mean to services like Meals on Wheels and Special Olympics and all the other things that we saw the president cut in his budget. We have to demand that. And if people don't do that, then you have to let them know that if they won't change their ways, you can change who your representative is. But it's a great suggestion. And I think in August, it's the public's opportunity to have those one-on-one meetings and those town hall meetings with their elected representatives.
Congressman, we have a little less than a minute before we hit this hard break at the bottom of the hour. Is there any way, I know you're kind of shaming Paul Ryan by showing up in his district, but you're one member of Congress. What are the ways that people can encourage their member of Congress, particularly their Republicans who all seem to be hiding in a bunker someplace, to come out, show their heads, show their faces?
Yeah,
to a town hall.
You know, I think you call their office, you write letters to the editor, you call the paper and ask for them to do editorials on it, because the media isn't happy either that they're not doing this, right? And this isn't how we've always done things. In 2010, at the height of all the town halls that were tough on Democrats for the Affordable Care Act, Democrats still had town halls. They got yelled at in some cases, but they still had town halls because they were listening to their constituents. Right now, we're seeing a different trend. So people have to keep that pressure on. If they find out they're doing a private meeting somewhere, because they often post their calendars, then show up outside those meetings. But make it a media event don't let them get away with not having that communication.
There you go. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. It's Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this news break here at the bottom of the hour. You can reach him, his website, Pocan, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep, R-E-P, Mark.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this. Welcome back. It is Middays with Mark. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls here on the Tom Hartman Program. Pocan.house.gov is website. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. Congressman, you're still with us, right?
I am.
Okay. When you're on the phone, I can't see you. So.
Yep. Sorry about that. We'll get this back soon to having Skype.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. Okay. Armin in Bradenton, Florida. You are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, Tom and Representative. If I may, I want to comment real quick, and then I want to read Tom, if you will let me, Tom, please. Just give me a few seconds.
No, I'm not going to let you, Armin. You frequently call in and want to go off on long rants. This is your opportunity to ask a question, Armin. If you can't do that, I'm going to go on to the next caller.
No, I don't want to go off on a long rant.
Okay, ask a question, or I'm moving along.
Okay. Well, in my opinion, this health bill is totally criminal, this latest one especially, because what it is, it's a conspiracy at the highest degree to perpetrate monopoly capitalism and absolutely absorb what little equity's left in the masses of people that will be affected negatively by this criminal act.
Okay, I don't disagree with that, and I'll take that as a question. Congressman, Geez, I just Windows 10 just shut down my computer for a minute.
Yes,
I hate this thing. Anyhow, Congressman Pocan, you want to respond, Armin?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Let me respond in this way. I think the most significant new part of what the Senate's trying to spin now is this ability for anyone who's in the exchange can offer a real slim down health care plan to supposedly lower the cost of health care, but it also lowers health care. So they're really still not addressing health care. This is just, their desperate attempt to still be able to check the box that they got rid of Obamacare. So, we need to keep people calling their senators and members of Congress, keep the pressure on. And, when a bill, I saw last weekend, they said outside of when Bill Clinton tried to do health care with all the commercials running against that effort and the bailout of the banks, this is the least popular major initiative in the last several decades. So we need to keep the pressure on to make sure they don't pass a really terrible bill.
Yeah. Fran, in Janesville, Wisconsin, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Mark. I'm one of your constituents out of Janesville. I'm one that got gerrymandered away from Ryan's district, but I saw you at Basics recently. But I was curious as to, let's suppose that the Democrats are able to take control of the Congress, of the Senate, of the presidency, can we reverse all of these things that they're doing, all these horrible acts that are being done, the health care and all the other stuff?
Yeah, Fran, thanks for calling in. And, absolutely. First of all, right now what we're doing is trying to fight the bad ideas before they can become law. And right now, thanks to you and everyone else, we're having a lot of success. I mean, people being as active as they are and calling their members have made the first 6 months, they've gotten virtually nothing done. They're with a portion of a health care bill. They still can't get through both houses. And we're having those successes to stop things. But there's a whole lot of good things we'd like to do as well, clearly. But if they do some damage in this area, I think we can come back with proposals and hopefully even better proposals. The fact that now 112 people are sponsors of Medicare for All, the most ever, that's moving in the right direction. And the reason it's moving in the right direction is because that's what the American people are calling us and telling us about. So we need to be very optimistic and be vigilant in keeping the calls on to members of Congress and the Senate, and don't let up on the pressure and let people know. Again, if they won't change their ways, you can change who represents you.
There you go. Let's see here. Bruce in St. Petersburg, Florida. You are on with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about taxation. All these people that they're trying to knock off the voter's roll, or even for a felon, I got caught with a little bit of pot back in the 70s. I can't vote. What, isn't that one of the basis we found this country on, taxation without representation? If I cannot vote even for the dog catcher, then how can they tax me? I mean, if you think the Tea Party would really be behind this, because that's what the tea, you know, dumping the tea in the ocean over England was all about, was that taxation without representation. And if they could not tax all of us people that they're knocking off the voter roll, wouldn't that change their viewpoint on knocking people off the voter roll? Because look how much taxes they would be losing if they knocked anybody off the voter roll then. Thanks a lot. I'll take that. You go.
Yeah, I hear you, Bruce. You know, I'll tell you, if the Tea Party was actually consistent, you'd be right, that they would be concerned that someone's being taxed but not having a voice in government. But I don't find that consistency is very inconsistent when it comes to their theories, and just watch this all day in a markup yesterday in Appropriations Committee. I think the point you bring up, though, is really solid, which is why, you know, Keith Ellison and I have introduced a bill to guarantee a constitutional right to vote. In too many states, they find ways to disenfranchise people so that they can't vote. And especially for people who are off paper, you know, for people who lost it because they were a felon or something else, at some point we have to make sure they're re-enfranchised, or else we don't have that vibrant democracy where everyone has a say. Just as you explained, you're still taxed, but you don't have that say. So we need to keep working on that, and hopefully not fight it state by state, but do something like Representative Ellison are trying to get done, which is put it in the Constitution, guarantee that highest right that guarantees that ability to vote, and then we could address a lot of these issues.
Mark, in Greenville, Michigan, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan. Mark?
Hello.
Hey, thank
you. Sorry.
But all right.
Only question I had was, how do you get interest from the Democratic Party in running for Congress?
You mean how would the average person try to run for? Okay,
great. Yeah, Mark, great question. You know, first of all, we just need more people from different walks of life running for office. Over half of my colleagues are millionaires up here. Not saying if you're a millionaire, you can't be compassionate and relate and represent your constituents, but more often than not, there is a disconnect because of it, which is why I think, you know, people like in the first district of Wisconsin look at someone like Randy Bryce, who's an iron worker, who looks like them and talks like them, is running for Congress. That's what we need, is more people who have that background. You know, I come from labor, and there's only a handful of us that have been union members, but there's a whole lot of people who are lawyers or you know, work for a lot of big businesses. You can contact the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, you know, or if you want to run as a Republican, that Republicans have their own version. You can contact your party. Be active in your community. What you want to do is, you know, people need to have those local contacts that show, you know, that they've got connections to their community to run for office. And there's a lot of different groups that put on campaign schools, depending, you know, where your interests may lie, I think, from all different walks of life. But in general, I don't care, you know, what party you run for, we need more people to run for office that come from, you know, different backgrounds and have this place look a lot different than it looks right now.
Scott in Minneapolis, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, hi, Congressman. I'm proud to say that Keith Ellison is my representative, and he does a fantastic job. My question is, if we assume that the pendulum swings back in 2018 and 2020, does this not give us a golden opportunity on the left to redistrict and maybe take some of these seats back the way the Republicans did 10 years ago?
Scott, first of all, I agree. Keith is amazing, a good friend, good colleague, and so glad he's doing what he's doing now at the DNC. So, you are represented by an amazing member of Congress. So let me offer a slightly different perspective, though, Scott, if I can. Yes, if we can swing the pendulum in 2018 and 2020, especially in state legislatures and with governors, you can affect redistricting. I would argue, though, that I would rather see us move to something closer to what we have in Iowa and California and some other places where you have citizen commissions doing redistricting and take it out of the hands of politicians. I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican majority. When we are drawing our lines, we are picking our voters rather than voters picking their elected officials. And while it may be tempting to try to gerrymander the other way, I think that's a bad idea ultimately. And I think we need to, you know, figure out the most objective, fair process. But certainly what we have now is so gerrymandered, just going to an effective, fair process will change the makeup of Congress and legislature.
Yeah, it sure has worked out well for California. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls for the congressman right after this. He is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And, of course, his website is Pocan, POCAN.house.gov. And welcome back. John, watching Free Speech TV in Minneapolis, Minnesota. John, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, I agree. My congressman is wonderful. I just wanted to say also that, you know, I had asked a question, I think it was like last week, to Keith Ellison about what's going on in California as far as Jerry Brown and Assemblyman Rendon and health care there, because I think it's also important to talk about at the same time that we're talking about what is going on in Congress. And then I also wanted to ask what specifically the Democrats are offering, how they're maneuvering, and what would be, you know, since, you know, the populace is in our favor, 15% only agree with the Trump care bill, which three polls I've seen. Yeah, so my question to you is, what is it that Democrats are doing?
Yeah, so John, a number of questions there. Let me try to address. First of all, I think, you know, what we're seeing is in local areas, in states, and in local communities, we can still be laboratories for progressive public policy, and we're seeing that in some areas, like California. So we need to really have that happen so we can be ready when things do change and we take back the House and the Senate and the White House, that we've got some good examples to go with. Right now, I think in Congress, you know, we're saying we know we need to fix the ACA, but, you know, we can fix that a lot easier in guaranteeing that 20 million people still have access to health insurance, that if you have a pre-existing condition, you're still covered, that women are paying the same as men, and all the other benefits that are there. We can do that, but we do need to provide some of those fixes to make sure that it can last into the future. At the same time, I think many of us would like to start talking more and more about Medicare for All, single payer system, which with this Congress will never happen. But I think what we're seeing through this debate is why there's a need that healthcare is a right, that everyone needs to have access to it. But first, let's fix what we have so that no one loses their health insurance. And then let's have an aspirational position out there to get more people health insurance.
Yeah. We just have a minute till we hit the break. A quick question. Donald Trump seems to take the position of whoever talked to him last. And when he campaigned, he actually campaigned on some fairly progressive things, like everybody's going to have health care and it's going to be better than Obamacare, which can only, in my mind, describe one thing, you know, changing our trade policies, you know, all that kind of stuff. The Republicans were quick to get in there and influence him, and he has swung hard to the right. But it seems to me like Macron figured this out. You know, Trump believes the last person to talk to him. He goes to Saudi Arabia and suddenly we're defending Saudi Arabia against Qatar, where CENTCOM is. Do you think that it's possible that the world leaders could wake him up, could bring him back to some sanity when the Republicans keep trying to pull him off into bizarre world?
You know, the problem is he's doubled down, I think, the most on this America first, make America great again sort of idea, that he's not really, I think, as much going to be influenced by outside leaders. So I think that could be a bit more difficult. But what you said earlier, I just want to emphasize, he ran on Democratic issues, right?
That's how he got elected.
He articulated them more simply and better than we did as Democrats, and that's how he got elected. And now he's running as a far-right Republican, populist, xenophobe, you know, all the rest. So if he's not going to stick to those issues he ran on, that's why we've got to get in there and change the people around him who are working with him to make sure that we can get the issues that people actually voted for but aren't getting with him in office.
Yeah, and change the Congress, too.
Absolutely.
There you go. Congressman Mark Pocan with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It is Middays with Mark, Congressman Mark Pocan, answering your questions. Glenn in Milford, Mass. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Congressman. Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Hey, Glenn.
We've seen a number of stories come out about parts of our election infrastructure being hacked or compromised. What, if anything, is being done to push these private corporations to shore up their security vulnerabilities?
Thanks for the question, Glenn. And, you know, you're going to give me a chance to plug two bills, if I can, that we've introduced, because this is something I've been concerned about since I was in the state legislature. One, we have a bill called the SAFE Act that Keith Ellison and myself and Hank Johnson from Georgia have introduced that would basically put our election infrastructure under the nation's critical infrastructure definition, which is like our utilities and our banking structure, to really protect it. It also ensures that we would have paper ballots on all electronic voting machines, that there'd be a random auditing of machines, and does all the things that we need to protect this now that we know that they're not only hacking local election officials, but also the companies that make the machines. This is all of information that's come out, so we have to protect that. And then secondly, you know, I know a lot of people are concerned about the interstate cross-check issue. We introduced a bill recently, John Conyers and I, called the Voter Roll Integrity Act, which is H.R. 3091. I think I didn't have that number last time I was on the program, Tom. And that's to make sure that we don't have the purging of names off the list like we just saw the Trump administration trying to essentially do all over again. So we really need to double down on these good government measures that protect our elections, because without it, you're not going to have the democracy that we have. We have to make sure that everyone has one vote. And whether it's the Koch brothers or my brother and I, the one thing that we have in common is a single vote, and we need to protect that at all costs.
David in Burlington, Washington, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of comments, I guess. First, that just listening to previous callers, in fact, the one just before me, it's just really encouraging to me to hear about the things being done about the voting security that you just spoke about. And I was also really surprised to hear how many sponsors there were for Medicare for All, which I know, like you said previously, probably isn't going to make it, but that sounds like good progress to me. The question I have is about the health care bill that's in the Senate, and I'm just trying to get a clarification about the process, the legislative process. If this bill was to pass the Senate, which, God forbid, I hope it doesn't, but if it does, since I think this is a new piece of legislation in the Senate, does this then, if it did pass, would it then have to go back to the House and be approved? And if so, what kind of chance do you think it would have in the House?
Sure. Well, first of all, we've got to get it through the Senate and see what the bill is going to look like. And yes, you know, because they're under the reconciliation process that gets them around the 60-vote rule in the Senate, they only need to get 50, but they're already having problems with their most recent version of a so-called health care bill. If they pass something, it would have to come back to the House, so we'll get another kick at it. Right now, again, I don't know what version it's going to be. They're having a very hard time with these huge cuts to Medicaid and other things with some Republican members. So you just have to keep vigilant, keep calling and doing everything we can, because the more time we buy, the more this thing stinks under the sunlight. So this is on our side. Let me just say one more thing, if I can, Tom.
Sure.
You know, David, I think what you brought up is one of the main reasons I love doing this program, is to let people know we're having a lot of progress because people are working so hard. When they call their members of Congress, when they're working with the outside groups that work on some of these issues, we are having these victories, and we just have to keep doing this right through into 2018. So thanks for all people are doing on this. You know, we'll get voter security done because people are calling their members of Congress. We'll eventually get to a Medicare for All. I'm confident. You know, we're up to 112 sponsors because of everyone doing the work they're doing. And we just want people to know there is good news when you work hard.
Amen. Scott in Canaan, Maine. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom. I've got a question for you. Actually, a quick comment, too. If
single payer does go through, is there any way in the world you can keep it away from the insurance companies? And my other thing was on net neutrality. Doesn't that belong to the people? I mean, how does the FCC have the right to take something that was taxpayer funded and give it to the big corporations? I mean, isn't that part of our commons? I mean, Al Gore gave it to us, basically. He said he invented it, but he didn't.
Well, he signed the legislation that authorized it, that funded it.
Yeah, I mean, but it still belongs to us. How can they separate that? I mean, I don't want to go on and try to find your website and have to buy a package with 50 shopping things on there just to get to your website. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's
right. No, I hear you. I hear you, Scott. Well, thanks for your comments. So, you know, on net neutrality, obviously this week was a week that we've been trying to raise awareness so people understand what's going on. Continue to do that, you know, share on social media any of the posts you've seen around net neutrality, because, again, I don't think there would be a majority of Democrats, independents, or Republicans that want to go down that path. But there's a lot of big corporations with a lot of lobbyists who are putting a lot of pressure on the Republicans to try to take that away from you. So you got to keep that up. And on single payer, I mean, the whole idea is if we do a Medicare for all system, we can kind of get around the current system where you have, unfortunately, waste because you have outside entities making profits off the system. You have administrative costs that you could probably avoid. You'd have marketing and advertising costs you could avoid. There's a lot of things that would provide real savings by going to a Medicare for all system. So we just need to keep, again, it's going the right direction. Rick Nolan from Minnesota, a colleague of mine, told me when he was in Congress the first time in 1974, back then there were only six people who supported that. Now, like I said, we're up to 112. That's progress. Of course, we'd like to do it faster, but that's progress, and we've got to keep working towards making that a reality.
Yeah. Congressman, we have just a minute and a half to the end of the hour. Not really enough to bring another caller on, although you're very popular. You have calls from Oregon, New York, California, Washington, New Mexico, Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. And, your final thoughts for the week, what should we be looking at? What should we be doing?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I guess I'm going to be focused on healthcare because I think this is the perfect example. They're still willing to put forward a proposal that has 17% support because they want to get tax breaks for the wealthy so badly that they'll put together something that could lose them the majority in the House of Representatives. So we've got to make sure that people know still this is the same bad proposal. Keep the pressure on, because if we do that, we can defeat this, maybe get back to actually getting them to work with us to fix what we need to fix about the Affordable Care Act so people don't lose health insurance. But this is the fight we have right now, and if they don't get their tax break hidden as a health care bill done, it's going to be harder for them to, you know, redistribute wealth back upward to the wealthiest in this country.
Right. So, action steps?
Action steps, keep calling your representatives and your senators. Keep sharing on social media about why this bill is still bad. Keep doing what people have been doing, because we're successful, right? For 6 months, they've accomplished almost nothing in Congress. We have to keep that pressure up.
Yeah, and part of that is not because we Democrats have been obstructive. It's because Republicans have been proposing idiotic ideas.
Yeah, and Republicans aren't going with them because they're getting calls from their constituents.
Right.
So it goes back to the people are winning. It's a tough time to watch Donald Trump and his family and everything else go on, but we're winning if people keep up the pressure.
Amen. Congressman Mark Pocan, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great talking with you. Middays with Mark. We will be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.